Blog Talk Radio.
That's why you're walking around with high levels of stress, because you're not doing anything for you. You know, you're pouring and pouring and pouring, and the old saying is you can't pour from an empty cup. I try to encourage people to figure out what brings you joy, and why are you not doing that? You know, I hear ladies always saying, I'm so busy. And I'm like, you're going to be busy, and you're going to be in the hospital.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Midday Money Show, your weekly shot of uncommon financial good sense. I'm Tony Husband, a financial coach with the Debt-Free Divas, and I love talking about all things as they relate to your money. Today, folks, is kind of a tough show, one for me that I have been avoiding, but one that I know is necessary. I've been avoiding it because it's forcing me to kind of deal with my stuff, and I can't keep kind of covering that struggle right now, so it's one that I'm kind of going through at this moment. I've been here before, and the problem is that when you kind of get stuck in this emotional quagmire, if you will, it affects your ability to stay focused and make progress on your goals. So I'm getting this out here for me, but also in the hopes that maybe this is something that will help you identify stressful or stress factors in your own life. So recently, my husband and I experienced an anniversary of sorts. February was the 7th year since my first child, my daughter, Casey Husband, made her transition to heaven. So it's been 7 years since we buried my baby daughter, who was born too early to survive. She was born at 5 months, and now she is, what I believe, wholeheartedly with her Heavenly Father. So even though I rest comfortably in that knowledge, it still hurts. It's still very difficult for me, and every February it's kind of a reminder of a very difficult time we went through. And generally I have a week or maybe even a couple of weeks around her birth date that, you know, I'm just pretty down, and I generally allow myself to be down and just have that moment, and then I'm somehow able to kind of come out of that and move forward and kind of get, you know, just get back into the swing of things. But this year has been a little tougher for me for some reason, and I honestly don't even know why. Casey was actually born right in the midst of our debt-free journey, and so let me tell you, folks, when you have to bury a child, and even one who I'd only known, you know, kind of in the womb for 5 months, but that was still my daughter. And when you have to bury a baby and have a funeral for a baby, that can be a major disruption, as you can imagine, and really take the wind out of your sails. And of course it did. I think it was actually a year, and I only know that it was a year because I look at my debt-free worksheets that I used to post every month, and there's about a 12-month gap in there from when I just stopped doing anything. I stopped making any progress, and I just needed that time. So, of course, the stress and difficulty of dealing with that knocked us off course. And I bring this up now because I noticed that after this February, it's been a couple of months, and I've still kind of been in this slump. I've decided this time that I probably need to check in with a professional for like a mental health checkup. There are some projects that I've just pushed pause on, and I just don't have or haven't had the mental strength to like take them to the next level. And I know that that's not kind of the normal mode of operating for me. Recently, I was working on an article about de-stressing over money, and it hit me. Stress, when it's just left to its own devices, can be a huge obstacle. So whether it's getting your, you know, keeping your housework up or getting your taxes done or making, you know, weight loss progress or pushing through and staying focused on your financial goals, stress is something that can build up and can really be a block if you don't deal with it. And as a matter of science, 72% of Americans reported feeling stressed over money at some point during the month. And this is according to a survey by the American Psychological Association. So that's major. 72% of us are stressing. And that stress, the major stress factor, is money. So if you're dealing with stress factors and your progress towards debt freedom has been impacted, this episode, Simple Ways to De-Stress Over Money, is going to be packed with resources and experts that have great advice on dealing with that, pushing past that, taking simple steps that you can do now in the moment to relieve some of that stress so that you can kind of, you know, regain control over your mental processes and push through. Links to all the helpful advice and details, as always, can be found on my website, debtfreedivas.org. So to start with, I reached out to Addie Anderson. She's a licensed clinical professional counselor, a psychotherapist, and a transformation coach with Begin Within Counseling and Coaching Services, which is located here in the Chicago area, just FYI. And she helped me out because if you're not sure what a transformation coach is, as I was not, this is what she told me.
Well, it's the type of coaching that I do with women, and I'm helping them to transform from one part of life to the next. I kind of see myself as helping people to kind of transform or transition something in their lives that they're looking to change.
The American Psychological Association says money represents the single largest source of stress for most Americans. Think about it. If our money is out of order, we face it every time the bills come due. And so Addie says that most of us know when we're stressed, and here's how she says it shows up most often.
Well, let's see. Stress shows up in a number of ways, as you would imagine, with different people. But some of the things we look for most of all is that they have this interrupted sleep. They can't sleep, or they fall asleep and they have to, they wake up because they're interrupted because they're worried and concerned about something. It can definitely affect your appetite. If you are an emotional eater, then you would definitely increase your food intake when you're stressed, and just the opposite. Could also happen that you find yourself not having an appetite and eating, say, one unhealthy meal a day at that. And so you could either lose weight in a short span of time and also gain weight in a short span of time if you're stressed. It could also make you be less tolerable.
That's a nice way to say it.
Yeah, you can be irritable, really, you know, and you get irritated really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But what I also know is that stress can also, if it's not handled properly, can also lead to depression a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they come in, and the word that they will use is, I'm stressed. And then when you sit and do an assessment of something with them, you said you can almost see some mild form of depression. You might also have a hard time concentrating. You could go through periods of sadness. You know, it's a little bit more than just having the blues.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this intense sadness. You also might have thoughts of feeling hopeless, helpless, worthless, not really knowing how to function. You know, you can't concentrate on anything. And when it gets so bad, you know, it gets really bad, then, you know, you could be having thoughts of suicide.
How can people determine whether or not this is just kind of a bad couple of days, or I'm actually dealing with something that I need to seek professional help?
The way you determine that is you look at the length of time that it's been going on. Like if you're stressed for a couple of days, you know, all right, and then you get back on track, you're fine. You're able to kind of go about your day. You're functioning in a more healthier way than before, but you have this situation or something on your mind that just kind of had you in that place, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you're depressed, you know, it goes on for a longer period of time, and you also have those symptoms more times than not throughout the week.
How do you go about finding someone to help you? That was the question I had.
Well, let's see. You could definitely go by, if you know someone who has a therapist that they like, that's a good way to get connected with someone. It's almost like anything else that you do, that you have to try people out to see if you fit with them. Because, you know, you might go through profiles or whatever, or look at their credentials on paper, and it sounds all well and good, but, you know, it's sometimes it's just that energy that people emit sometimes that connects them, and or sometimes that may make them feel uncomfortable with each other, is the way I see it. you can look at the credentials, make sure that they work with depression or anxiety or whatever the situation is, and call them, talk to them, ask questions. I think that is definitely a first step.
So seeking help in the mental health field for some communities to this day still carries a negative stereotype. If you're a little resistant to the idea of seeking professional help, here are some thoughts that may help you warm to the notion.
You know, what I say to clients when they come in is that this is a platform and a space for you to be able to talk about what's on your mind, deal with those personal and painful issues that may have you stuck at the moment, and process them with a person who is non-judgmental and here to support you and also provide you with some professional help that you might need that you can't get, you know, from your friends or your family sometimes. Let's just say you break an arm and you need to mend a bone or something, and you have to go to the doctor to get an x-ray and to do all those things that you need to do to heal that wound you have. I see it as the same thing. You know, if there's something that you're going through that emotionally might have you kind of in this place emotionally where you could use some help peeling back some of the layers, then why not do it?
Frederick Towles is an accountant and a personal finance coach with Towles Group, Inc. He talks about how he helps clients deal with the financial issues that are causing them stress.
One of the first things that I say to them is that, one, stressing over it doesn't help the situation and doesn't help you.
Now, did you catch that? Let's play it again.
Stressing it doesn't help you. That's number one. Because obviously if you're stressing over it, you put yourself in a position where, at least in my opinion, where you render yourself helpless against the situation. So I try to explain to them not to stress.
Okay, but saying not to stress is easy. What do you do if you're smack dab in the middle of a cash catastrophe?
The second thing that I typically say is we need to develop a plan. That plan obviously starts with the budget. It always starts with assessing their spending habits, their investment habits, their saving habits. And then once you come up with this plan, the idea is, what I try to communicate to the client is that this situation whatever is stressing you about money, that situation didn't occur overnight. It occurred over time. So the remedy for this is something that doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. Just allow the process to work and push through the process, and over time you'll find out that whatever the money challenge was, it'll be alleviated if you trust the process.
The one thing I learned when talking to Frederick, and we probably know this intuitively, but we are a product of our financial experiences, right? That's right. We get it from our mama and from daddy and big mama and them.
We would need to address their money makeup, right? Because what typically happens is individuals spend the money not because they have it. Their spending habits usually stretch back a generation or two. It's usually a copy of something they saw their parents do. Some people spend money because they're depressed, right? There are people that eat because they're depressed. There are also people that spend money when they're depressed. So we need to find out what those financial triggers are. What causes them to act financially the way they act? Many people don't realize that our spending patterns have nothing to do with the advertisements and things that we typically blame spending habits on. It's those advertisements and things and the images that flash in front of us, those things spur who we really are financially. That's all it does, right? So if we can figure out what the money triggers are and help expose that to the client and alert the client, listen, if this happens, this is the way you respond financially, and maybe we need to correct this approach. Because at the end of the day, a budget helps, but unless you identify what the financial triggers are, many of our clients are never going to follow their budget because once the financial trigger is activated, they're almost helpless not to do anything different than what they have normally done.
Did you catch that? You may have trouble sticking to a budget because your financial triggers are getting in the way. Well, how do we know? You know I went there.
Here's an example. Person A, whether male or female, doesn't really matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Person A, maybe their mother and their father, and this is an actual example, right? Maybe their parents were always known as these well-dressed people, right, that drove expensive vehicles or had the best of things, but secretly they didn't have any money in the bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
If something were to happen to their vehicle, if something were to happen to their home, then they would be in a financial situation that they couldn't get out of. They were just fortunate that nothing of an emergency popped up, so they were able to kind of lavish themselves in these things. Now, their child comes along, and because this is what they saw and what they were accustomed to as a child, as an adult, many of those same habits actually follow them into adulthood, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they now are going to look and do those, pretty much those same things. It's not saying that you're bound to do it, but it's more likely than not that this is what you're going to do financially, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a person like that, what we try to identify those triggers, expose them, and say, well, you know what? Why do you need this? Because typically we can find an alternative that can help you, still give you what you want to some degree, but also help you put some money away to save and invest for the future so that in case of an emergency, you don't have to run around trying to figure out what to do and further the stress. You can be somewhat prepared for it.
So my next expert that I reached out to is Pedro Silva. He's a certified retirement and divorce consultant with Provo Financial Services, an investment-based financial solutions company in Massachusetts. He pointed out that the stress often starts when we don't have all the details. I guess in this case, ignorance is definitely not bliss.
The crux of the problem is sometimes the stress comes from not knowing what's going on. So people very often know that there is a problem, but they're afraid to really look deeply as to what's going on. So they know there's not enough money at the end of the month. They know that they're stretching out. They might be avoiding paying some bills, paying minimum payments, but they never really dig into what's coming in and what's going out because they're afraid to look at that truth because they might not like what's underneath it.
So I like solutions, and Pedro has a great one for those who are stressing with money. It's all about process.
To deal with the stress, quote unquote, step one is to really identify what's going on and what is the source of it. Technically, in a big picture, the source is I don't have enough money, but it needs to go deeper than that to the minutia of I'm spending $8,000 and I'm making $5,000. And from that point, then you start to go, okay, what am I spending $8,000 on? And you go through things like auto leases, you go through your cable bill, you go through having a house phone that nobody uses, and you itemize those things to have an idea of really what's going on. And that becomes the starting point, because before then you just knew you were stressed and you knew that something was wrong, but you really didn't have any way to act upon it. So being able to get a list of what's going on, of what is actually causing the stress, and having a to-do list of things that you can start to tackle, I think is where people start to feel empowered. And
you've grown up with this cliche your entire life. Knowledge is power. But can it really help remove the stress for a financial issue in your life?
It's itemizing what you can do about it. The stress makes you a victim. You're unhappy and you're stressed. The itemizing what things you can possibly do makes you, you know, an active participant. All of a sudden, you're empowered to do something rather than just let it come at you every month and be afraid to go to your mailbox.
So we need to understand and address our financial triggers. Itemize a to-do list, all great things. But in the moment, stress is a real factor. So I talked with Felicia Houston. She's a licensed clinical professional counselor in the Chicago area. and is a woman on a mission to help other women stress less in their lives. That's actually the name of her workshop, Stress Less Workshops. Anywho, clearing up the financial meltdown or digging out of a mountain of debt is going to take you some time, but you do not have to be stressed in the meantime.
So some practical things, like you always hear people say, you know, you should go to the spa, and you know, and I am an advocate of the spa, but that's not nothing that you can necessarily do right now. You know, like I can't get a spa appointment right now.
Right.
So some simple things that I can do right now if I'm experiencing stress is breathe. Practice on some deep breathing techniques, breathing in the nose and out the mouth. Or, you know, some people say, hey, through the mouth, out the mouth. Figure out a way that works for you as far as deep breathing.
Okay.
Because research, again, shows that once you focus on that breathing, it minimizes your stress level because it helps you to calm down and to be more, you know, at peace.
Okay.
If you're inside and you're stressing out, I suggest going outside and getting some fresh air. You know, that means if you're at work, take a break. They don't pay you for the break anyway. Go outside, you know, and take in some fresh air and just focus on the moment. A lot of times when people are stressed out and they just continue to work, they don't even pause for a moment to go outside and actually smell the fresh air, smell the flowers, and enjoy the moment. So those are like some real practical things you can do. And also just journaling and writing stuff down. You know, this is how I'm feeling right now. This is what's going on. And get it off your chest so that it doesn't get to where you're having high blood pressure and, you know, and diabetes and things of that sort. So those are just some practical things. Or call somebody, call your counselor if you have a counselor, you know, or make an appointment to go see a counselor, or call a trusted friend or a colleague that you can talk to, you know, just to get the whatever is bothering, whatever is stressing you, just to get it off your chest.
Now, I like that idea of journaling to relieve stress. I never thought about it. Why do you think, it's like intuitively I feel like that should help, that can help, but why do you think just a very simple thing of journaling?
I always look at it as like a pressure cooker. And if you ever cook with a pressure cooker and you put the food in there and then it just goes up, and it keeps getting louder until it actually bursts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of times with people, they keep pounding on the stress. It just keeps one thing after another. And when you write it down, it's like you're getting rid of it. You know, it hasn't gone away. But you've written down the thing that's bothering you. If you share that with anybody or not, you've got it off your chest, and now you can move on to something else. Something else that I've used as a technique in workshops is I have people write it down, then we put it inside of a balloon, and we go outside and we let the balloon go. I'm like, let it go. It's gone.
Okay.
It's not coming back. We need to let it go, and we need to move forward. So I think a lot of times people have high levels of stress because they can't let stuff go. So I think by just writing it down and being honest and real with yourself, that this is how I feel, this is what happened, this is what I plan to do, and then you can move forward. The workshops that I do, that I've done in the past and I continue to do, are stress-less workshops. And I do them in that I educate people about what is stress, how it affects you, you know, your body, physically, emotionally, spiritually, things of that sort. But then I also, a part of it is to give them some solutions. So sometimes what I may do is I may bring in a chiropractor, I may bring in a doctor, I may bring in a dietitian, but we want to give them some tools that you can actually implement on your own so that you can minimize your stress. A big thing that I've noticed over the years, and I've been doing this for, I don't even know how many years, I've been in the mental health field for almost 20 years now.
Okay.
And what I've noticed is that some of the people who have the high levels of stress, they don't tend to do anything for themselves.
Okay.
And one question that I love to ask in the workshop is, what brings you joy? And the people, majority of the people in the workshops cannot tell me what brings them joy. And because you don't know what brings you joy, that's why you're walking around with high levels of stress, because you're not doing anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're pouring and pouring and pouring. And the old saying is you can't pour from an empty cup. So
right.
Once the cup is empty, what are you going to do? You know, so I try to encourage people to figure out what brings you joy and why are you not doing that? You know, like it's something simple as one lady said, I used to sew. I used to love to sew. And I'm like, well, what happened? She's like, I don't even know. So I'm like, well, go back to sewing. That's something real simple, something real basic that you can be doing, but you have to make the time for it.
Right.
So I think a lot of times women, this, you know, I hear ladies always saying, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. And I'm like, you're going to be busy and you're going to be in the hospital.
So if you're part of that 72% crowd that is dealing with varying levels of financial stress, I hope this episode was helpful to give you some tips on just how to deal with that, how we can be proactive about dealing with the stress in our lives. You, just like myself, have some tools to be intentional about managing that stress so it doesn't present itself as a block or an obstacle to some things that we're trying to do. So even listening to this again, it was helpful and cathartic for me. I hope this was helpful for you. Again, all of the resources and links to connect with all the experts, and I'm so thankful to all of them for lending their knowledge, will be available at my website for the show notes on this episode, Simple Ways to De-Stress Over Money. You can find that at my website, debtfreedivas.org. Until we talk again, you all have a great money week.